ray of hope today for Greece?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today, the Prime Minister of Greece reshuffled his cabinet in a desperate bid to keep the Greek government and economy afloat. Violent street protests and political opposition have prevented the government from passing major budget cuts that are needed to keep Greece from defaulting on its obligations to global banks. Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard is here live with the latest. Stephen, a new cabinet, and I hear increasing signs that Europe is going to send another check to Athens soon. Can we rest easy?
No, in a word. A key European official says he's confident that the EU and the IMF are going to agree this weekend to release the next chunk of the first bailout money, $17 billion. That will get the Greeks through the summer. They'll pay their debts then until September, when they'll need more money. And the EU and the IMF are still insisting that the Greek government's got to pass new austerity measures if they want a second bailout. So there seems little chance of them getting those measures through the parliament. So no, the crisis may have been kicked down the road, but the crisis certainly isn't over.
And it's a crisis for European banks as well. And I wonder, didn't the Europeans just put their banks through stress tests to see if they could withstand big shocks like this?
Yes, but the first set of stress tests were widely derided as sort of woolly and inadequate. So the EU ordered a fresh set. Now, these did not include the possibility of a sovereign default. So investors are now saying they're completely irrelevant. These second tranche of tests have been delayed until July, possibly to build default into the test. But the authorities can't talk about this. If they talk openly about the possibility of default, they may trigger another wave of speculation, making a default even more likely.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Well, now to Chicago, where this weekend an influential organization that supported the Obama health care law will reconsider that support. The American Medical Association will vote on whether to change its stance on the part of the law that requires Americans to buy health insurance. Sally Herships reports.
On the one hand, the president's new health care law means more patients, but the law is also supposed to cut health care costs. Amitash Chandra teaches public policy at Harvard.
But any time we try to reduce healthcare spending, at some level, what we're also doing is reducing income for providers.
Chandra says that's why the AMA is voting this weekend. Much like the president's healthcare law, the AMA's current policy says most Americans should be required to buy health insurance. But that's wishful thinking, and this debate is politics. Dr. Jane Orient is executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. She says the law comes with expensive requirements for doctors that could put small practices out of business.
If you read the Obama legislation, well, there are all kinds of requirements in there. Additional data collection. They want everybody to have an electronic health record, demographic information.
But Harvard professor Chandra says he expects most physicians at this weekend's vote will continue to support health insurance for all patients. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower again in overseas trading this morning. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow finished higher, though, 64 points higher, 11,961.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Green Lantern launches in theaters nationwide today and in 15 markets overseas this weekend. It'll be in 3D in most places. But the whole 3D thing doesn't really impress our next guest. His name is Peter Bart, and he's the author of a new book called Infamous Players. It's about his time as a Hollywood executive decades ago. Peter Bart, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, your new book, you talk about your time as executive at Paramount Pictures in the 60s and 70s. When you walk around Hollywood now, is there anything that's still run the same way as it was back then?
Absolutely nothing is run the same way. The whole business plan is different. One reason I wrote the book was to remind people that you expected an experience. You expected movies that would change the way you think about movies. you know? And today, basically, when kids go to movies, they expect to see movies they've seen before. Another Hangover, another Kung Fu Panda. So it's a repetitive experience rather than a questing one.
It's not just a good old days argument that people make that things were always better before?
No, I don't think things were always better before. You know, technologically, movies are extraordinarily superior today than they were then. But today, you blast an audience with a $150 million ad campaign worldwide, and you basically tell people what to see. And more of the emphasis of Hollywood is on that foreign audience. 65% of the audience is foreign, and that's what motivates what people decide to make.
How much did you care about foreign audiences back when you were at Paramount?
Zero. It was never even thought of. Interesting phenomenon, though, is the 3D pictures. The case of some of the 3D movies, more than half of the audience is opting to see the 2D version. So I think you're going to see more and more 3D, but I think they'll be done more skillfully. I think, frankly, the first couple of years of 3D is an exercise in schlockdom.
Was there anything like 3D that you could have seen as a fad or the next big thing back when you were at Paramount?
Yeah, there were always gimmicks being tried, you know, seats that shook and aromas that were put out into the audience. But nonetheless, the emphasis was try to make movies that were engrossing. Those of us who were involved in running studios actually asked ourselves, do I want to see this movie? And that would be a good motivation for causing it to be made. That ain't true today.
Peter Bart, author of Infamous Players and editorial director of Variety, thanks so much for coming in.
You bet.
And finally, in Bellevue, Washington, three young women were just following the directions of their rental car GPS device when they found themselves heading down a boat launch and into a lake. They got out okay, though a fire official there said he doesn't understand why the girls wouldn't question driving into a puddle that doesn't seem to end. Gotta remember, the computer is not always right. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
It's not just professionals at the U.S. Open hitting the links this weekend. Can the president and the speaker enjoy a round of bipartisanship?
Somewhere between number one and number 18, you find time to bring up what you need to bring up, and it works.
Or not. I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Congressional Golf Caucus, next time on Marketplace. Today's business news as well, it's from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.